When we talk about Acts chapter 2, we run across the problem that many people think and are taught that all the Christians on the day of Pentecost received baptism in the Holy Spirit. We have talked about that in previous classes, demonstrating that is not what happened on that day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. One of the evidences is the fact that those who received these gifts that were displayed were the apostles. None of the early Christians, as far as we know, on that day spoke in tongues or worked any other miracles. And so there's no evidence that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit on that day. In fact, if you read the first five chapters of the book of Acts, the only people working miracles were the apostles up until chapter 6, when the apostles laid their hands on some men and they began to be able to work miracles. However, people will turn then to Acts chapter 10. They say, what about Cornelius? You say the apostles are the only ones that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's a case in Acts 10 where Cornelius and his family were baptized in the Holy Spirit, his household. I don't know your experience, but it may well be, if you've been a Christian for a number of years, you've heard preaching from good men that taught Cornelius and his household was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but that it was a one-time event for a special purpose. And we're going to examine whether or not Cornelius was baptized in the Holy Spirit in our study today. I do not think he was. I once did. But I do not believe that anymore. So those men who say that Cornelius was baptized in the Holy Spirit, gospel preachers, are not advocating everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. They will make it clear that they think there were only two occasions of baptism of the Holy Spirit. One, the apostles, and two, Cornelius and his household. But we want to look at that text today and see what the text actually says about what happened to the household of Cornelius. And so, why is it when you turn to Acts 10, and we looked at verse 17 and 18 in our class on Wednesday night. So let's look at Acts chapter 11, verse 17 and 18. Refresh our minds. In Acts 11, you see in verse 1 and 2, Peter has went back to Jerusalem and he's being questioned by his brethren about what he did down there at the household of Cornelius, which were Gentiles. And so he explains the four supernatural events. And then in verse 17 and 18, in verse 17, you have Peter's statement. This kind of sums up what happened at the household of Cornelius. So, verse 17. And I want you to help me now as we went through this Wednesday. So this is a little bit of a rehearsal. In verse 17, he said, God gave. What else in verse 17 points to God being the one behind the events at Cornelius' house? In verse 17.
The question asked,
could I stand in God's way? In other words, I had nothing to do with it. Normally, when people receive the Holy Spirit powers, what had to happen, according to Acts 8? The laying on of the apostles' hands. But Peter said, that didn't happen. Now, in verse 18, what parallels God gave, and I couldn't stand in God's way. What in verse 18, there's two statements that parallel that.
God has granted.
What?
God has granted.
All right, God has granted. And the other one I marked is glorified God. God has granted. This was all God's doing. And we'll look at chapter 15 in a moment where he emphasized that. That's very important, especially as we look now as to whether or not Cornelius is baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, there's another statement in verse 17. Peter's saying, he said, God gave to them. In verse 18, who are the to them? To the Gentiles. This is the significance of this event. as Gentiles who received whatever was received and experienced whatever was experienced on that particular occasion. And then in verse 17, he said the same. What in verse 18 parallels the same? Also. Right. Now, in verse 17, he said he gave him the same gift as he gave to us. What is in verse 18 when the men there in Jerusalem responded? What's the parallel phrase? Repentance that leads to life. Not Holy Spirit baptism. Not speaking in tongues. He gave to them the same gift he gave to us, is the repentance that leads to life. And then we have in verse 17 another statement. It says, this whatever they received was conditional on what, verse 17? After believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when we talked about this whole Cornelius event? When Cornelius saw an angel, what was he told to do and why? What was he told to do? Send for Peter. Why? He would tell him words by which you must be saved. So, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So whatever happened with the Holy Spirit was not to save him. It was not to give him faith. It was not some better felt than told experience, a born again experience where now the man believed. That's not it. He received the same gift, salvation, after believing, and that was necessitated, the preaching of the gospel, the understanding of the gospel, and the believing of the gospel. So why do people believe that what Cornelius received was what the apostles received, baptism of the Holy Spirit? On your lesson, we have four things that sometimes are looked at. So number one, in verse 15, it says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as upon us at the beginning. Just as. Craig, would you get those folks that just come in a copy of today's lesson? Thank you, sir. Just as. So, if the apostles received baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Cornelius and his household received just as, did they not receive baptism in the Holy Spirit? That's the first thing that people look at. And the second thing is in verse 16. The event that happened at the household of Cornelius reminded Peter of something that happened at the beginning to the apostles. And, of course, in the beginning, the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, again, they say, see, they received just as. And now he says it reminds him of when the apostles in the very beginning were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is, he said in verse 17, he gave to them the same gift. So if he gave the apostles baptism of the Holy Spirit, then he gave to the Gentiles baptism of the Holy Spirit, the same gift. And then the fourth thing, hold your finger at Acts 11. Go back to Acts chapter 2. The fourth reason people believe that Cornelius was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I know these things. I used to teach them. But I think I learned better. But in Acts chapter 2, he says here verse 17, he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And on my bond slaves, both men and women, in those days I'll pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so this is the pouring forth of the Spirit of verse 17. And so they're saying, that pouring forth of the Spirit was on all flesh or all mankind. But on the day of Pentecost, the only flesh or mankind that received any power from the Holy Spirit were Jews. So in order to fulfill the prophecy of Joel that Peter is referring to, for all flesh, Jews and Gentiles, to have the Spirit poured out upon them, Acts chapter 10 and 11 must be appealed to as a fulfillment of that prophecy. So those are four of the things that people look at. So let's go back and look at these. First of all, we've got some questions on your lesson, or some points here. Did Cornelius receive baptism in the Holy Spirit? So here are some things to consider. According to Acts chapter 1, we went over this several times, so this ought to be an easy question, and you ought to be able to go to the verses. In fact, I'd like for you to do that. I'd like for you to show me the verses that support your answer. Who, according to Acts chapter 1, was Holy Spirit baptism for? There's two verses you need to go to. At least one. All right. Look at verse. The apostles is the correct answer. And so that's verse 5. But how do you know verse 5 refers to the apostles? Verse 2. The apostles whom he had chosen. That's who he's talking to. And so there's a promise made to those men. Not a command. It's a promise. You make a promise to somebody, and those are the only people that can expect to receive it. This is a promise made to the apostles. Secondly, he said, let me stop just a moment. What was the purpose, according to verse 8, of this Holy Spirit baptism? That they'd be witnesses. Okay, so they were special witnesses. There are no witnesses like that today. There were no other Christians that were witnesses like these men. Look at Acts chapter 10, if you will. Keep your finger at Acts 1, but go to Acts chapter 10. Look, start with me in verse 39. Peter's preaching. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up the third day and granted that he become visible. Note this next verse. Not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. Who are they? Those who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. That's nobody alive today. They're the witnesses. And they were going to bear witness to the risen Savior who arose to take the throne of David. Chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to have power to be witnesses. And that's what they were. Was Cornelius one of those witnesses? No. The promise was to witnesses. When you made a promise to your mate when you got married, that promise was to a particular individual. No other man or woman could expect you to fulfill that promise to anybody else. That's what this is. It's a promise to the apostles in connection with their work of witnessing. Now, back in Acts 1 again, he said something about this promise in verse 4. What did he say about it? This new, this first time they've heard about it? What you heard from me. Did Jesus ever use the phrase, so far as our recorded gospels and talking to the apostles, baptized that you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, never did. So where in the world, if the gospels recorded at all, do they record them hearing it from him? To answer that question, we have to first understand what baptized in the Holy Spirit refers to. And we talked about that in one of our classes. Baptized in the Holy Spirit is obviously an idiomatic way of speaking. No one is literally immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. And so we talked about that little phrase, baptized. We compared Isaiah 21:4, where it's in the Greek version of the Old Testament, that phrase was used to indicate overwhelmed with horror. Now, it's not the Holy Spirit himself that the apostles would receive, but what, according to verse 8? Holy Spirit put for his power. So you'll be overwhelmed with power is the idea. That's the promise. Now, where did he talk to those men about power to be witnesses? Now, if we can find that, we know what Jesus is referring to. Where?
John 13 through 16.
What?
John 13, 14, 15, 16.
That's right. That's where he promised it. So when you look back at that power, what the person would receive in John 16:13, what was one of the powers that they would have as a result of the Holy Spirit coming to them, according to John 16:13?
Guide you into all the truth.
Question. Did Cornelius have that power, or did he need further teaching? Even after whatever happened to Cornelius with the Holy Spirit, he still needed teaching. Craig, somebody else just walked in. If you give a copy of that lesson, please, sir. So, here's another thing that they did not have. They weren't witnesses. They weren't. Cornelius wasn't witness. His family wasn't witnesses. They did not know all the truth. All right, now, look at your third point there. The Holy Spirit gave the apostles power that Cornelius didn't have. And we've listed several things that the apostles could do that there's nothing said about Cornelius either doing them or being able to do them. So we're not going to read all those verses. But you'll see that the apostles could speak in tongues. Acts chapter 2, 4, for example. 1 Corinthians 14, 18. They could heal. Acts chapter 3. They could raise the dead. Acts chapter 20. They could cast out spirit. Acts chapter 16. They could survive the bite of deadly serpents. Acts chapter 28. They had the word of wisdom. Revelation 1, 3. And they had the word of knowledge. These other verses. Cornelius didn't have those powers. The apostles did. They were baptized in power. They were overwhelmed with power. And so while Cornelius was enabled to work one miracle, tongues, whether he ever did it again, we do not know, the apostles were able to have a full range of these miracles, as well as being able to pass them on to others, which no other man could do. And these became the signs of an apostle, as we read in 2 Corinthians 12:12. So, when you read in Acts 11:17, somebody said, but what about Acts 11:17? He got the same gift. If Cornelius got the same gift, baptism in the Holy Spirit, that the apostles did, shouldn't he be able to do what they did? He should be able to, shouldn't he? But we've seen same gift does not refer to baptism in the Holy Spirit. What's the same gift?
Repentance that leads to life.
That's why those two verses are so critical. Not the same gift, baptism in the Holy Spirit, the repentance that leads to life. Yes, Rocky?
Steve, on 11, 17, and 18, we parallel those two verses. It's obvious by reading it, but in verse 17, Peter's talking to the people. And so he's presenting some type of message to them. Verse 18 is how the people understood what Peter told them. And we can parallel those two. So they understood what the same gift was. They had that understanding that they replied. That's their response.
Good point. Yeah. Even if we didn't have 18, we'd have Peter's statement. But it really confirms it that these guys are there who are also Jews who are trying Peter for what he did. When he explained it, they concurred perfectly. And so that's a good point that Rocky makes there in verse 18. Okay. So we have down here on your lesson, baptism connotes overwhelmingness. And there's that Isaiah 21:4 passage we talked about previously. So they would be overwhelmed with power. Nobody else had that power. Well, what about this little phrase? Now, we've already dealt with the same gift. That's not talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. What about that little phrase, just as? There was something similar because it reminded Peter of the beginning. But people assume that. Now, let me just stop a moment. Baptism, that idiomatic phrase, baptized in the Holy Spirit. What is that? That is probably not a good question, but what does that phrase look at about the powers that they would have? You say, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. Measure. Overwhelmed with it. Measure, right? You'd have so much power to be witnesses. All right. So, when you look at the little phrase, just as, It can refer to measure. And here's where oftentimes our brethren get stumbled up. They say, well, they got baptism in the Holy Spirit, apostles. Cornelius got baptism in the Holy Spirit. But all will admit he can't do what the apostles did. So we need to go back and understand what the phrase means in the first place. What is baptism in the Holy Spirit? It's an idiomatic phrase for something. It connotes measure. Now, is there another possibility for the little phrase just as? Manner. Peter said, what happened at Cornelius reminded me of the beginning. From the day of Pentecost until Cornelius, however many years that was, anybody else that spoke in tongues or had any other miraculous powers given by the Holy Spirit, how did they get them? Laying on of hands. Acts chapter 8. The Samaritan believed and were baptized, but they had not received the Holy Spirit till Peter and John laid their hands on them. Remember that? Simon saw that. Through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. What's different about Cornelius? No hands being laid on. That reminded me of the beginning. When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we, the apostles, were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nobody laid our hands on us. Who was the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism?
John.
Who? God. That's right. God. Who talked about that? Who the administrator would be? John the Baptist. I baptize in water. He will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Peter said, that reminded me of that. That beginning. Not measure, but manner. This has never happened since the beginning that anybody received Holy Spirit power to speak in tongues or whatever without the laying on of the apostles' hands. And so manner fits all the demands of the context and avoids these things that don't seem to measure up. That Cornelius didn't have all the powers, for example, that he wasn't a witness, those kinds of things. That he never received that promise that was for the apostles. If you see manner rather than measure and just ask, that takes care of that. Now, on your sheet, we got the chart that we put up on the slide on Wednesday night. If you were not here, that's on the website. And so here's that chart that we have comparing those things in verse 17 and 18. Okay, so look at Romans chapter 15. Say, why are we studying this? What's going on right now over in Israel? What's going on in Israel? War. War. What does the Hamas want to do?
Eradicate
the Jews. And yet so many political decisions are made relative to the idea that the Jews are what?
God's
holy people. They are not anymore. But a lot of preachers even teach that. But they're not. But if they are, where does that leave you and me? And so this idea that the Jews are God's people. And back then, in fact, up until, depends on how you date the chronology of Acts, which is another study. But at least at the event with Cornelius, would Peter have preached the gospel to a Gentile?
No.
Hey, Peter, I heard you're preaching something about salvation. Would you come talk to me? I can't go eat with you. And so look at Romans chapter 15. Peter was the apostle to who? The Jews. Paul was the apostle to who? Gentiles. That's right. Now, doesn't mean Peter never spoke to a Gentile. Obviously, look at Cornelius, or that Paul never, to a Gentile, or Paul never spoke to Jews. But primarily their ministry was directed in those two ways. Now look at Romans chapter 15, verse 8. I say that Christ had become a servant to the circumcision. Who's the circumcision? The Jews. On behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And that was the promise, that the Jews would be offered salvation. But now look in verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who's the you, verse 11?
Gentiles.
And that's what Paul was teaching. The gospel is not just for Jews. It's for Gentiles. We're wasting our time if that's not the case here today. We're not in the scope of God's promise. What's the assurance that we are? Acts chapter 10 and 11. That's what it was about. Not just some guy named Peter that I've never met, but the four supernatural events that we talked about in Acts 10 and 11. Look over to Acts 15. So here's the Jerusalem meeting. The issue. Well, do these Gentiles, okay, they can get the gospel, but they have to be circumcised to keep the law. So there's a big debate. And so they had this Jerusalem meeting. And here's Peter preaching. Verse 7. When there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe." What does that refer to? Cornelius. Acts 10 and 11. Now, here's why he was sent. That they might what? Hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's exactly what we read in Acts chapter 11, 17, wasn't it? Okay, now note further. God, who knows the heart, what did he do?
Testify.
A witness testifies. God testified. Was it a voice or something that God did? Was there a blaring voice on that occasion? How did he testify?
Miraculous events.
Peter said, "I didn't have anything to do with it." Here was God's testimony that I was at the right place doing the right thing, preaching to these Gentiles. No, giving them the Holy Spirit just as. Same measure or same manner? Directly from heaven. Just as he also did to us. And he made, here God's doing, no distinction between us, Jews, and them, Gentiles, cleansing their hearts by faith. That perfectly parallels Acts 11, 17, and 18. And so, verse 10, "So why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples the yoke, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? We believe that we, the Jews, are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Not our lineage, not our sacrifices, not going to the Feast of Pentecost or Passover. We're saved just like the Gentiles. And here's how. And that is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is really at the heart and soul of the gospel that you and I believe today. Very important text. Okay, so unfortunately, Pentecostalism, the charismatic movement, which if the Lord is willing, we'll spend some more time on that in our next quarter, have made this baptism of the Holy Spirit just mean this is a power for service, a power to help you be a holy life. It's not having anything to do with that. That's not it. It robs this thing of its importance, of its significance. And then, of course, they say the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit is you can speak in tongues. And of course, what they define as tongues is nothing like what you find in the Bible. And so anyway, any other comments on Cornelius and his household? Anybody else? All right. And if you have some questions about that, I'd be happy to talk to you sometime about it. But that's what I either understand or misunderstand about that particular part of your Bible. Let's turn to John chapter 3. But we're going to look at now, we're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're considering briefly some other texts that sometimes are appealed to about this important topic. So here we have the discussion of Jesus with Nicodemus. And so, verse 5, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, what's assumed is born of the Spirit is Holy Spirit baptism. Is there anywhere in verse 5 through 8 or in chapter 3 that talks, that uses any words about Holy Spirit baptism? There is not. None. It's assumed born of the Spirit is Holy Spirit baptism. If you believe born of water refers to water baptism, is there anything in the text that says water baptism? No. How do you show that it is then? Law of harmony, right? You look at other passages about life being given, spiritual life being given when one arises from the waters of baptism. What I'm saying is, you can't rely on this text by itself to either say it's water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism. Neither one is in this text. Or then it's possible it's Holy Spirit baptism. We've just examined the reasons that's not the case. That was for the witnesses to give them power to do their work. And Peter said, we're the witnesses, nobody else. All right, so born of the Spirit does not say Holy Spirit baptism. Well, then people read that and assume that, and then they get down to verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. They say, look, that's what this birth of the Spirit is. It's like the wind. You can't see it. You just feel it. And I just feel it. I just had this feeling. And that means I was born of the Spirit. That's what being born of the Spirit is. It's like the wind. Is that what that text says? What does it say? What is like the wind? What is like the wind? Everybody's scared to answer. It's right there in the text. Everyone who is born of the Spirit. What's born of the Spirit? Is it something you can see? Touch? What's born of the Spirit? The human spirit. That's what he explained to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, Jesus said to him back up in verse 3, you've got to be born again. He said, well, do I have to go back to my mother's womb? No. His view of the kingdom was a physical kingdom. He said, no, Nicodemus, there's got to be a change of your heart. And this born of the Spirit, one of the themes throughout the Gospel of John is the word life. And it's all the way through the book. You go back to chapter 1, for example. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. And his prologue. In him, that is, the word that became flesh, was life. And the life was the light of man. Look at verse 12. The word life doesn't occur, but it's that idea. Look at verse 12. As many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name who were born. What happens when a person is born? They have life. Life is a child of God. Born not of blood or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. You got to be born of God to have life. And that's what he talks about. So, You get over to chapter 3 here, and he starts talking about this being born of the Spirit. Down in verse 15, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 16, God so loved the world, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All the way through that chapter, all the way through John. When he gets to the end of his book, John 20:31, do you remember what that says? Most of you probably memorized. These are written, why? May you believe Jesus is the Christ, and believing that, might have life. That's what John's about. The life that's in Jesus, that Jesus has made possible. Well, how do I get that life? I've got to be born again. There's my physical birth, but I've got to be born again. Born of the Spirit. And so, if this new birth John 1 and verse 12 depends on faith, which is the way he says it does. The same thing in John 3:16. How is a person going to get the faith to give him life? How is that going to happen? What?
He has to hear the message.
Has to hear the message. Where'd that come from? Holy Spirit, right? And the apostles. You got to be born of the Spirit. You've got to hear the message the Spirit revealed through His chosen prophets, and receiving that message, believe, and then you can have life. So Nicodemus is not a matter of your lineage. It's not a matter of who your mother was when you were born. It's a matter of believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to talk to him about these very things. And so you'll note he says, verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He said, I came from heaven. I know what I'm talking about. You got to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where John starts his gospel. In the beginning was the Word became flesh. And that's what Jesus is saying. So whoever believes in him may have eternal life, verse 15. It's not a matter of getting wet. Not that. Not the act itself. The act of water baptism is in response to a matter of faith in the heart in the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. So, the only other thing in the entire New Testament that talks about anything physical that has to do with people getting life is the act of water baptism. Romans chapter 6, for example. Rise to walk in newness of life, and that would certainly fit. But be that as it may, there's nothing about Holy Spirit baptism in John 3, 5 through 8. If John 3 and verse 5 is referring to Holy Spirit baptism, we got this question on your lesson. If that's what that's referring to, is one saved if he has not experienced it? No. Now, the religious world divided on this. Some say you've got to have Holy Spirit baptism to be saved. Some say, no, it's after you're saved that you get it. But if this is Holy Spirit baptism, you will not be saved until you get it. And according to Pentecostalism, what's the evidence you got it?
Speaking in tongues.
That's right. And it's supposed to give you the power for holy living, right? So if we'll talk about 1 Corinthians 12:13, another class. But the Corinthians were Christians. So if they were Christians, they received Holy Spirit baptism. Did he give them the power for holy living? Read their letter. No, they had all kind of problems. The Apostle Peter baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did that keep him from being a coward?
No.
Galatians chapter 2. That is not the purpose of Holy Spirit baptism. All right. I've got 2 minutes to cover Acts 2:16 through 18. You think we can do that?
No.
I see a lot of heads shaking no. Okay. We'll pick up there, the Lord willing, in our class Wednesday night.